Good morning and welcome to the program. It's great to have you along with us this morning. I'd like to continue our lessons on spiritual restoration. For the past few weeks, we've been talking about spiritual restoration, and this morning I'd like to talk about finding and realizing forgiveness in order to have restoration. With the infection of sin so prevalent in the lives of men today, there must be a way to take those sins away. If not, the Bible is full of misleading statements like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in what while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This promise is made to anyone who wishes to receive it. Isaiah chapter 1 at verse 18 says, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You see, it is sin that has made our spiritual garments look as scarlet or red stained. And in order to get garments to be crimson or scarlet red, the garments were double dipped in dye, making it extremely difficult to wash out, which is kind of ironic because our garments can be made as white as snow by simply following the plan of salvation. Psalm 51:7 says, "Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Now the psalmist here asks God to cleanse his spiritual garment to make him clean again. How is it that we can be made white as snow? Revelation chapter 7, verse 14 says, "And I said to him, Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So our sins are made white through Jesus. Our garments are made white as snow when we are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. You see, the first bloodshed in the Bible was to cover sins. If you remember, Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, their nakedness brought them to shame after they disobeyed God, and it caused them to cover themselves with fig leaves. However, when God saw their clothing, he made coats of animal skin. So the animal's blood had to be shed in order to make those garments. Genesis 3:21 says, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them." Now, this coat of skin that God made was like a long robe or a long shirt, and it was made by the shedding of blood. So from the beginning, blood has been shed to cover sins. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission, according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. So you see, sacrifices are necessary. In Genesis chapter 4, at verse 4, we read, "Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering." We see that from the time of Abel, it has been necessary to have sacrifices. And we also see that God apparently had already established guidelines for sacrifices. In verse 5 of Genesis 4, we read, "But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother." And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. And Leviticus chapters 4 through 6 give detailed explanations to the blood offerings which were made to cover the sins of the people. So God gave the instructions, and those who did not follow those instructions would not be forgiven of their sins. And in the case of Nadab and Abihu in Numbers chapter 3, some died because they did not follow the directions. The necessity of blood sacrifices and following directions is seen throughout the Old Testament. And under the new law, Christ has become our perfect sacrifice. From the very first glimpse of the man Jesus, you see that he is the Lamb of God. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" And John chapter 1, verse 36, "And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.'" So Jesus is that perfect sacrifice. And the perfect Lamb shed his blood. Under the old law, the blood of bulls and goats and sheep were used by the people to gain forgiveness of sins. And each year, the high priest would enter the holy place of the tabernacle and go before God on behalf of the people and their sins. We no longer have to do that because Jesus is our high priest, and it is his blood that offers forgiveness of sins. We read in Hebrews chapter 9, of verse 7, "But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance." And in verse 11 and 12, we read, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, we read, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins," Jesus said. So why would Christ have to shed his own blood? Well, because he was the perfect Lamb of God, the one without sin. Hebrews 4:15 reads, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and spot." Jesus is that Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. How does one come in contact, though, with the blood of Jesus? Well, one must be in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 13 reads, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." So how does one get into Christ if we must be in Christ? Well, Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in a newness of life." It is through baptism that your sins are washed away. When we read that in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, and Acts chapter 2, verse 38, many folks believe that people just made up the fact that you must be baptized for salvation, but it's clearly seen in the Word of God. And God has chosen this method by which we come in contact with the blood of Jesus. We just have to choose to follow the directions. You see, Christ has justified you by his blood. Romans 3 at verse 24, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." And Romans 5, verse 9, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." And Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." And Christ's blood continues to cleanse us. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, we read, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." But notice the conditional statement, "if." You see, it is up to us to do what God says. It is up to us to accept what God tells us to do. Restoration will take place when you take action. In Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, we see the story of the prodigal son. We have a son who left the comforts and blessings of home to experiment life on his own. While living in this loss and regret, he sensed the need to return home. So he acted up on that need and he went home. His journey was probably the toughest journey that he ever faced, until when he was almost home, he saw his father running toward him with excitement, with his arms stretched. And his father said, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." We must decide to take action. We can read the Bible all day long. We can listen to preachers preach all day long, whatever the case may be. If we don't act upon the things that the Bible says, then we're lost. The Bible teaches upon hearing the Word of God, one must believe it to be true, repent of their sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized in water, immersed for the forgiveness of sin. So why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. Acts 22:16. And if you're a child of God who has gone away from the truth, why are you waiting? Arise, realize your sins, and return to the Father, and he will meet you there. Gain forgiveness, and you will find restoration. But don't try to do it on your own. Forgiveness is found in Christ Jesus. And he is there waiting for you to answer his call. Make sure that you read the Bible. When you choose to believe it, act upon it. Have faith. Know that Christ is there for you and he will never leave you alone. Find forgiveness. Realize that you can be forgiven and you will find restoration. And if there's anything that we can do for you, let us know. My name is Scott Pauley. I'm the minister for the Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia. You can stop by and see us for worship service. We meet on Sunday mornings for Bible study at 9:30 and then at 10:25 for worship services, and then again at 6 p.m. for worship services. We also meet for a Bible study on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. You can stop by during those times if you'd like. If you'd like, you can give me a call at 304-727-0761. You can email me at wvdj105@aol.com. You can look us up on the internet at www.washingtonstreetcofc.org. That's www.washingtonstcofc.org. Or you can check us out on Facebook. Whatever you need, we would be glad to try to help you. If you would like to attend the services of a Church of Christ, but you're not in the St. Albans area, contact me and I'll be glad to get you in touch with someone who can help you. And keep in mind, the Churches of Christ will never ask you for any money or ask you for anything other than your presence with us. Again, it's been a pleasure to have you along with us this morning. Please join us every Sunday morning for the program Words of Truth.